We got DeMarcus Bunkers.
Me, I have a family of entertainers. So, you know, Michael and Lydia have been in the industry for years because they were the founders for Death Row Records. So they were the founders and started the label and actually had put up the capital. So with, you know, their knowledge and their expertise, that's what actually ended up helping me really navigate the business. And I'm going to say this, and I'm not saying it because this is my family's record label and Tupac was an artist in my family's record label, but Tupac is undisputed. He is the number one artist of all time, okay?
DeMarcus Bunkers on our podcast. Could you tell us, how did you start off becoming a Hollywood actor? Because you had a scene that you had a six-figure job, but then you decided to do something else.
That is correct, yes. So I had a six-figure off-field career job. I was working for a distributor for ExxonMobil. And I went with a friend to an audition, and I was in the waiting room, and he was in the back doing the audition. So I heard another reciting lines, and I said, God, I wouldn't have said the lines like that. So he gave me the script. I started reciting the lines, and a casting director and producer heard me recite the lines and invited me to audition. At that time, I was reluctant and said no two times before on the third time, I said, okay. So I went to the back, I auditioned, and then from there, I ended up booking it, and then I sort of never looked back. But then I was still blind to how the business operated and everything. So Michael Harrio Harris and Lydia Harris, you know, their teachings is actually what helped me navigate in the business. Lydia gave me every tool that I would need within the business in order to be successful.
Yeah. That story sounds similar to Tupac with Tretch. I don't know if you know that story with Juice.
I am a little familiar with it, huh? From back from the day,
So what it was, Tretch went for the role of Bishop. Tupac was just on the, was just there following him, and then somehow they asked him to do a scene, and then the rest is history.
And then I know, and Tupac and them ended up getting the role. And then I know that for Higher Learning, that was another film. Tupac was actually supposed to play Omar Epps' role, but then because of, you know, I guess the things that Tupac had going at the time, the role of Omar Epps.
So what was the moment that made you decide that you wanted to become an actor?
Oh, goodness. When I really set foot in learning that I'm a really good storyteller, I love telling stories. It's very therapeutic for me. And to be able to jump in and out of characters and exhume the bodies of, you know, other people and, you know, the characters. Yeah.
Okay. Did your vision of what goes on in Hollywood match what you thought beforehand?
Oh, no, 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 no. So my vision did not match at all because there's so much within the business that you have to really know and understand and how to navigate and, you know, understanding the contracts and so forth. But, you know, luckily for me, I have a family of entertainers. So, you know, Michael and Lydia have been in the industry for years because they were the founders for Death Row Records. So they were the founders and started the label and actually had put up the capital. So with, you know, their knowledge and their expertise, that's what actually ended up helping me really navigate the business. And I really thank them and, you know, the tools that was provided to me in order to set me up for success and have a, you know, good, successful career in the industry.
Okay. So you brought up that Harrio and Lydia, is your family?
Can you
Yes,
tell us
that.
more about that?
So they are my family on my mother's side of the family. That is correct. Michael and Lydia, they used to be married at one point in the earlier days. And while Harry O was away, Lydia was running Death Row Records as the founder, and she was like, I think, president for the operations at the time when he was going back in the 1990s. Because she was originally singing. She was a singer on the roster, if you look back on the roster in the 90s. And because she had to run the day-to-day operations, then she had to step away from singing to run the day-to-day operations of the label.
So, what are your thoughts now that Snoop is a part owner of the company?
I think that is great. And Snoop, he's, business savvy, and I think that he's going to do great things within Death Row Records. I have no doubt. And I'm looking forward to more of the music that they're going to put out, more of the artists that they will get into the label. I'm definitely looking forward to seeing the route that they go. And I know that they recently just got Maze onto the roster.
Yeah, I also seen Harry O announce that Snoop and Dre are coming with an album this year too.
Yes, I heard something about it, but I'm out of the loop. My family don't really keep me in the loop with the business day to day, because I already myself, I have a very hectic schedule, with filming, auditioning, and everything. I'm on the road constantly, on the plane, traveling everywhere for all I have going right now, and doing media and a lot of press right now, so it's hectic. But I get a little bit of a gist if it just casually come up in conversation. But I'm really out of the loop with some of the stuff that's going on in the music world right now. I casually hear it in conversation.
So, what are your thoughts on Billboard and Vibe magazine's top 50 rappers ever? Because they had Death Row artists, Dr. Dre at number 40, Snoop at number 8, and Tupac at number 4.
I feel like there's a discrepancy in that. And I'm going to say this, and I'm not saying it because this is my family's record label, and Tupac was an artist in my family's record label. But Tupac is undisputed. He is the number one artist of all time. Okay.
Yeah,
And
a lot of
also,
people say that.
yeah, Tupac is number one. And then I feel like Jay-Z is at the top. And, and I'm not even saying that because, Jay-Z is actually my family as well. He's my family. He's actually he's actually my cousin, but it's through marriage, but he's a cousin removed. So Beyonce is actually my cousin as well. She's my cousin removed. On my mom's side of the family.
Jay-Z, they put Jay-Z actually number one on the list.
Really? I wouldn't be surprised. I mean, he's up there at the top. So the man, the flowers. He's worked very hard in the industry, and I feel like with his accolades and his hard work and everything, he's fought hard to really make a difference within the music industry. And I think that as time progresses, he will continue to get more accolades, and he's one artist that really stands the test of time.
So, what are your thoughts on rappers that turn to actors? Like,
Rappers actor. Well, there's some very talented ones. Tupac being one. The man was not only a musical genius, but he was just a legend on the screen, and it was just so authentic and not rushed. Kendrick Lamar, he's phenomenal. He did a really good job in Power, and the list goes on. They've done a really good job, and he's trans well into writing and producing and so forth. Because I mean, as you see now in current day, he has a series of powers. That's the original Power, Power Book 2 and 3, and I've actually been able to keep up with all of them, and I'm very impressed by his work.
So would you be interested in a role on the Power Universe?
If the opportunity presented itself, and but the script would actually have to be really good. So for me, I pride myself on playing strong African American male characters. I feel that that's so important in
industry because I want to leave my legacy and my mark on the world. And folks know me as that person that takes on strong African-American characters. And if I'm not able to do that, then it's likely a chance that I may not touch the role. So it just depends on the role.
Okay. Speaking of roles, you were part of a film called Rise with Michaela Bryant, who we interviewed, and she talked about the film.
And this is my first feature with me as a star actress.
Could you tell us about that film and the experience working with her?
Yeah. Well, first, I want to give a shout out to Michaela Bryant. She's a really good co-star. And she actually mentioned me in y'all's interview.
Yes,
she mentioned me. I did see that in the interview. At that time, earlier on, I wasn't able to do an interview with y'all. I had a lot of press and media that I was preparing for. But she mentioned that she was doing an interview with y'all. Working with Michaela on Rise, I feel like I learned so much on that production. And Michaela, she's just so patient. I can say that about her. For the role, we really had to be focused because there was a quick turnaround. And at the time, Michaela had a lot of press and interviews and so forth she was doing. Plus, she was traveling back and forth to New York with the fashion fitness and so forth. But we decided to do this film because, you know, we've been in the pandemic and we really needed to tell the story of individuals that were struggling, you know, with various things. They struggle with depression and these things they kind of stay silent on, you know, afraid that they'll be judged by the world. But you know, they try to just wing it and go through the emotions. And firsthand, we've been seeing it a lot in the media. So, of course, we put together Rise, which Rise, Michaela is the lead female character and I'm the lead male. And this film, it focuses on Michaela as an emerging artist who has to hit rock bottom. So she, the world quickly comes tumbling down and she has to really do some soul searching and look within herself to see if she can continue on in the capacity that she's in. And that's, you know, being that actress and that model. So she gets the highs and she gets the lows. You know, in the beginning of the film, you see that she's on the journey. She's really trying to wing it. You see that she has strength in her. There's strength, but she really has to. She has to get hit, as every other artist do it. I have, as she has in her personal life. But with that, I'm so sorry. I get excited on this. But with that, we were able to really capture the story of no matter how hard a journey is, at the end of the day, if it's something that you really want to do, no matter what roadblocks, what obstacles are put in front of you, you still will work hard to make it happen, no matter how hard. And, you know, my character on this, I play that producer that gives her, that delivers her the bad news. And I, you know, tell her, well, hey, if you don't make this change, this is what I'm prepared to do. So I come in and I just wreak havoc, but it's for her own good. And my character really sees the good in her and the potential that she has, but she has to get that feedback, whether positive or negative, she has to get it in order to move forward. So once she gets that feedback, You see in the film the decision that she ultimately makes. And I think that a lot of not only African-American males and females, but just folks from different ethnical backgrounds, they will definitely relate to this film. It's some of my more proudest work because I felt like I was really able to do justice to the character. And I feel like I was able to just be, you know, not only my authentic self, but put that hat on and become that producer, you know, that reigns on her parade. And we had to really, me and her, we had to really feed off each other in the scenes. We had to really feed off each other and really go to that vulnerable place in order to tell a story. Because this is something that, you know, the people have to be able to relate to, you know, the major topics in current day, like suicide, depression, major setbacks, all these obstacles you face, that's going to be something that's impactful to the people. So when we tell stories, we want to tell stories that, you know, are relatable. We don't want to just, you know, put crap together.
Yeah,
but it's a good film, and it's supposed to be coming out. They had to do a pushback on the release dates because of the distributors, which I have no control over.
Yes,
but it's as of now, from my last communication with the director and so forth, they had set it for August of this year, August 18th on Plex. And then I know Amazon Prime will get it. I know a handful of other platforms like Sling and so forth, they will get the film as well. And it's, you know, a nice feature film. And I feel like a lot of people, they will go back and they'll watch it for a second time.
Yeah. So could you tell us some of your favorite films of all times?
Oh, yes, yes, yes. One of my favorite films of all time is, of course, with the great Denzel Washington, Training Day. I felt he did a phenomenal job in that. And I was just, oh my God, I had to watch that film a ton of times. It's so bad, I had to learn the lines.
Yeah, that's a great movie.
Mm-hmm. And the Academy Award for that film was well deserved. He did a phenomenal job. And
yeah, I've also seen that you said that your family helped Denzel at the beginning of his career too.
That is correct. Yes, yes. So back in the day, in the 70s, Denzel Washington was in the TV series Same Elsewhere back in the day. And then years later, he came across my family, Harry O and Lydia and them, and they cast him in the Broadway play called Checkmate, starring Paul Whitfield and Ruby Dee. And that that Broadway play really catapulted his career, you know, making my family the first African-Americans to finance, direct, cast, and produce a Broadway play in the state of New York. Because, you know, back in the 80s, back in the day, that was unheard of for an African-American to put up the capital and put on multiple hats in the entertainment.
Everyone always just associates Serial with the music label and not this little tidbit that you're telling us right now.
Yeah. And I feel like Harry O and them, they and Lydia are just two very talented individuals. And, you know, I got with Lydia specifically because most of my teaching and time was spent more so with Lydia. So Lydia, one that was really pushing it on the outside, you know, telling me the tools that would be needed in order to navigate the business, how to go about getting, you know, coaches to get training and then work to get an agent and how to deal with contracts and everything that you would need to know as an artist. And there's things that I still don't know that I'm still learning, but I will forever be grateful to Lydia Harris. And Lydia, thank you so much. I really want to tell you that. Harry O, shout out to my cousin Harry O as well. Yeah. Definitely.
So,
but definitely grateful for them, that just really two really good people. And, you know, with some of the teachings, I'm able to thrive today as an actor, and I'm taking on a series of roles. And I actually just booked the new Jason Voorhees film just now. I actually just recently booked.
Mm-hmm. So we could see you in there with Jason, eh?
Yes, you can definitely will see me with Jason in the film. So Jeff May, he will be the new Jason Voorhees. And also I'm working with Chris Todd Durbin. He's actually in there as well. They're North Carolina natives, and we're supposed to be shooting the film in North Carolina.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And then I have a string of other films and TV series and so forth that I'm also attached to now. Another project that I'm doing is The Beginning of the End. The director on that is James Joffrey Yawn. He is an emerging artist in the industry as well. He just wrapped up on, a VH1 TV series with Terrence J and Carrie Hilson in them. Family Hip Hop Christmas. It was on VH1.
Oh, yes.
He had a bit part in that. And then I'm also working on Streamin' Sarah with Tiffany Sturtevant as the director. And it was written by Joyce Kostikis. So she's a New York Times bestseller that wrote the Streamin' Sarah. They cast me in that as a police officer. And then I was just recently cast in Get Out of My Dreams, which is another one by Tiffany Sturtevant. That is a film that is focusing on a string of rapes that have occurred. So I play a detective that's actually investigating on that. And it's so that, there's a lot of projects that I actually have in the works. And then last one that just recently just came to me within a few weeks is called Smoke and Mirrors. So I'll be working with Sebastian Large, and he actually just got done not too long ago working with Dwayne Johnson on a Netflix film, which is called Red Notice. And he worked on another one with Bruce Willis, The Wire. So Sebastian Lowe, he's making a major name in the industry. So they've been pairing me up with some really talented individuals in the industry.
Yeah. So what do you do when you prepare for roles?
Okay. So to prepare for roles, I don't take the approach of you hand me a script and then a week later or 2 weeks later, I'm in character. So what I do is for each character that I portray, I will take maybe a couple months where I work to embody that character by. So if I were playing like a construction worker, then I would spend my time with a construction worker shadowing him and really mimicking his habits and really embodying that construction worker. So when I'm on screen, I can give my best performance. Like, I feel like it's so important. Don't just jump into a character and then just lights, camera, action. No. Yeah. I really need to develop that character, really study that character, really work to embody that character, understand, you know, the strengths and the weaknesses. So when I merge it with the script, I'm able to give a really good performance.
Yeah. So do you have any advice for upcoming actors, actresses?
If you want to get into the business, you have to be really focused and understand that in the business, you will hear a bunch of no's before you hear the yeses. Definitely. It's designed to separate the strong from the weak. And if you really want to do it, you're going to stay focused. You're going to keep putting in the work. You'll take classes, train, work to get, you know, an agent, a manager, a publicist. And then you start working to get booked on roles, and you have to network. That's a very important key piece, because it's going to go back to also who you know in the business when you're trying to navigate the business.
Yes. So is there anything else you want the world to know about DeMarcus Bumpers?
Well, I'm definitely determined to be the first African-American male from Houston, Texas, to win an Emmy Award, a Golden Globe, and an Academy Award for acting. And I'm not slowing up anytime soon. I'm definitely on the rise. And right now I have over 10 projects that I'm booked for. And I'm definitely will continue working and booking as a talent. And also, if you get a chance, you can also read about me in Forbes magazine, because Forbes actually just covered me, Forbes New York, along with Forbes People. And there's a lot of media outlets now that are already starting to cover me in the press.
Okay. So one last question, since you just started Academy Awards. What was your thought on the whole Will and Chris Rock and the recent comedy flick with Chris Rock?
Okay, so the comedy flick, I did not watch it. I'm gonna be so I didn't watch it. The Academy Award, I feel like Will Smith could have handled it a lot better. It really hurt my soul to watch an African-American male slap another African-American male. It really hurt my heart, because you know, we've had to work twice as hard to get, you know, not only onto television, but to go to the awards, a prestigious award at that, and have that kind of honor bestowed upon us but to go and fight, you know, for the cause of Blacks being able to have that inclusivity, and then, you know, us not being able to really shine like that because of a decision that you made like that by slapping another Black man, and not to mention taking the light and shine off of all of the other winners for that night and nominees that had their chance to shine because it's overshadowed by what you did. It just really set us back. But I feel like people make mistakes, and, you know, he's human. He makes mistakes. There's a lot of people that make mistakes. We all make mistakes. Do I think that he'll make a comeback from it? Eventually. Will it be easy? No. Do I think, will he keep booking? Absolutely. And he's going to do great things. And in the future, I would love to work with Will Smith. So, you know, my thing is just, you know, learn from your mistakes. Keep going, keep working hard, keep thriving. Don't let a minor setback just hurt you permanently and it keep you down and in the dumps. You know, when you have an error, look for a paper towel to clean up that spilled milk and make a change. Do something, do something different. But at the same time, do something that's impactful, that's really going to change the name of the game and the dynamics, because right now we're in some really trying times. So, you know, I wish that brother the best of luck, and, you know, you never know, you probably will see us together on the screen.
Yeah, hopefully you're moving on up.
Oh yes, definitely, definitely. And I'm looking forward to being a part of Jason Voorhees, the Jason Voorhees family. It's a major I was just lost for words. And I definitely want to thank Jeff Mays and Chris Todd Durbin for helping me to secure the role on Jason Voorhees. They're going to stream it on the platforms, kind of like how they recently did with Jacob Lattimore's Chainsaw. It will be streamed.
It'll be streamed. Okay. Mm-hmm.